Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Did you survive the heat? You must have. Well, hey, the air still works here. We're in good shape. Let's see. How about we start today with our heavenly sunlight insert. We don't have it up there, and I didn't have it with me. Oh, well, we'll get through it. I'll just go get it. Let's stand, please. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise me mine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, the soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, heavenly praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking. Walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Little reprieve on the temperatures, Lord. Splash of water we got, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. All that we have, Lord, is only because of you. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the heat wave, Lord. We got through it. We're okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems, Lord, but we pray that maybe our leaders might turn to you, Lord, for answers they need in guiding our nation. Thank you for our church, Lord, my church family. Love them all. Thanks for everybody's here today, Lord. I just pray that as we listen to our pastor, that, Lord, something that he's going to bring forth today might touch a heart. Lord, especially if somebody needs to know you, Lord, as Savior, they get right before they leave the building. Thank you for this time, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 361, please. 361.
Rejoicing that it will be
when we all see Jesus. Sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout, shout the victory.
Phew, that gets you right there. Let's see our announcements for the week. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock, message by our Pastor Brown. Let's see, what do you got here tonight? Finding and giving value in the gatherings of the church. Continued. Don't miss out, folks. That's good stuff. Fellowship, August 6th. Steve Mundy's going to be here. It's personal evangelism scheduled on the 8th and 22nd. That's 6. Deacon and trustee meeting on August 17th. Possibly there may be a change. Wilton Bible study, August 10th and 24th. Our family fun night, August 16th. Women's Bible study, the 15th. Phew! Church picnic, September 16th. Film night, September 17th. One more. Ladies retreat, November 4th at Walnut Park. Time is 9 to 3. And Doug has something he just wants to mention.
Morning. Calling all you gentlemen out there. We're going to have Iron Sharpens Iron, our men's Bible study, this coming Saturday. It'll be down at the Drake Park down here in Fruitland. So I'm going to change the venue a little bit. Enjoy God's creation while we have something from the Word. And Denny's not here, so we're going to continue that in his absence. And we're looking forward to seeing you there. Bring a friend if you want to. And be 8:30. We change the time from 9 to 8:30 down there. Meet at Drake Park. And there will be coffee there and donuts. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Let's see, I just got informed the August 16th Family Fun Night has been canceled for the time being.
Temporarily.
We just got some folks that are missing. So I think, as Lynn's already here, and Doug, you'll come forward now, guys, and we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, for those that showed up, Lord, expecting just a little more time in your word, Lord, a little more preaching from our pastor, guiding, directing, Lord. Again, Lord, just give him the power he needs to deliver your message today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, all that you give us, Lord. You're always there for us, Lord. Help us now, Lord, to take up this offering just to try to give back a small piece to you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Not too much. Oh, pastor's thought for the week. There are no cold fronts or rain showers in hell. The forecast has not changed. Global warming can't be blamed. Look at yourself in the mirror. In the cross of Calvary, the forecast is good for heaven. Let's see. How about Kay is going to bring special now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Kay. What were the first lines of that again, Kay?
I dreamed.
Yes.
Yeah. That city called glory.
I thought I heard that correctly. Thank you, Kay. Praise the Lord for that great presentation. We might need to turn this down just a little bit. You might hear too much of me today if we don't do that. Thank you, Kay. Greetings in the name of the Lord this morning to one and all. We're glad for everyone that's here today, and especially glad if you might be visiting with us. But hopefully your experience here will be one that is beneficial to your walk with the Lord and will bring you into a closer relationship with Him today. Kay, that's interesting. I thought I caught that. I'm still a little loud, Doug. I don't sound like I should. I'm sorry? It's not on. Yeah, it's just this one here that I wear for me. Yeah, we'll need to shut this one off. There we go. We're missing quite a few people, as you know, today, vacations and so forth, so we have to kind of help each other out a little bit about this. I think, are we better now? No, we're still on with that one. Now we're better, but maybe down just a tick. Anyway, what was I going to... Now, not enough. It's okay, Doug. We'll just go the old-fashioned way. I'll get up here and yell, right? Kay, what that led me to think when you first began to sing that, and I thought I heard that a dream. But I had a dream this week, too, that I was in the translation of the church, the rapture of the church. I've had a couple of those in my life. But I woke up, and it wasn't yet. So... I just have to open with this as I greet you, though, this morning. This morning we looked at three verses in our junior-senior high class, and that's 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. But verse 1 starts out, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or given unto us, that we should be called the sons or children of God." I'll tell you, if you're here this morning and you've been bought by the blood of Christ... Do we really realize and do we take it to heart every day that we've been adopted into God's family through Christ? He's our Father. We're in a great place, folks. I mean, I just can't say enough what a thing it is to be in a personal walk with Jesus Christ. I hope that you're having that experience today. Stop hanging your heads low. Stop dragging. I'm telling you, folks, we're on the right side of things with Jesus. And there's good things that are coming, and I'll tell you what, we have every reason to be excited. Let's spread that enthusiasm around to others, but we're children of God. We belong to the family of God. Doesn't matter our own personal families. We all have those, and we have the hang-ups and the blessings that go with that, but we are children of God. Hallelujah, praise God. I could get excited about that this morning. Was there anything I needed to announce that's going on otherwise? I don't think so, but what we need to do is pray, right? And we do have communion today, and so this is a good time to consider again your walk with the Lord, your walk with one another, and to celebrate once again His work on Calvary's cross, and to recall also that He didn't just do the work and be finished, but He did what? He rose again to give us new life, and that's what we are. We're people of the life. We should be alive in Christ and excited and enthusiastic about what He has in store for us. But anyway, I greet you in the name of the Lord. We're going to take just a few minutes here to pray. And again, we'll start with silent prayer. And as you and I adjust our hearts before the throne, hopefully you've gone to Him already today in prayer and in the Word and studied and spent time with Him. But we'll take that time and then a short pastoral prayer. And then we're going to go on with our title today, and we're going to whip on the men. No, we won't do any whipping, but we're going to talk about the men's roles in the walk and life of a Christian and what God would expect in the rules and roles for the two sexes. So we'll begin that today. Oh, I do want to say this. Stephen Mwindi and his family will be here next week, Lord willing, our missionary to Kenya. I've known Stephen since school days. And you'll really appreciate him. He has been a diligent church planter and pastor over in Kenya. And you're going to be talking with some high-quality stuff there, folks, that the Lord has used. And so he's back on furlough right now, and You'll be excited to hear his ministry and what he has going on. So come prepared for that next week. We'd be glad to see you. We miss a lot of folks that are on vacation and otherwise missing. But pray for one another wherever we may be and what the path is of life that God has everyone on, that we would not forget him or one another. Shall we go to prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you for being available to us today as the great creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the universe and of man. As I just mentioned, Lord, what an awesome thing that is to be in a personal walk as your child, under your watch care, under your providential goodness that's given to your children, looking towards an inheritance, Lord, not of silver and gold, but of the precious, again, fellowship that we will have forever with you, Lord, as a part of your family. Thank you for redeeming us who were unworthy out of the slave market of sin through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We raise your Son, Jesus, today, Lord, too, as well. And we thank you for the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit and his work, again, in convicting and calling, Lord, and comforting. He's the one that comes alongside. We thank you for that today, Lord. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. We thank you today for the gathering, Lord, of the saints, the called out ones, the ecclesia of God. That's called the church. We pray today, Lord, that we would be here not only for one another's sake and to give, Lord, to each other as we have been gifted, but also, Lord, that we would receive the gifts and the blessings that you have from the teaching of the word and the fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you today, Lord, for everyone that's come through these doors. We realize today that we have many people that are gone. We have other people, Lord, that may be ill today. Some might have been discouraged this week. Even some may be worn out from the heat, Lord. But we thank you for all the events of this past week, and we anticipate, Lord, trusting in you for what you have laid out in the future. Now, Lord, again, I pray today that you'd forgive us and that you'd forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Lord, we've got so many things wrong. I pray there not be one person here today, Lord, that thinks they've got it all figured out, because, Lord, even at our best, we're not worthy. We're unprofitable, and we acknowledge that to you. It's all by your grace and mercy that we even exist. But Lord, help us to be productive in your harvest field. Give us enthusiasm and zeal, Lord, to work with people today. To adapt, Lord, to be something different that people encounter in their path of life. Oh Lord, help us with our discouragement. Many Christians today see discouraging things, but I don't, Lord. I believe that while superficially they may be discouraging, these are evidences of you working your very plan before our eyes. And so, Lord, I don't know the real significance of that dream that I had, but I appreciated Kay's song. We ought to be thinking about you and not these other things. That's for me at least, Lord, because one of these days you will appear and we'll be called to be with you. Whether it be through death or when you translate the church, Lord, and all the events that take place in your unwinding of the age and your establishment of the new heavens and new earth. Lord, we look with anticipation to all those things coming. Now, Lord, we're going to address some of these relational roles and what Satan has undermined in our world. He's always been there from the garden. But, Lord, the more he causes trouble, the more you're glorified in what you did for us on the cross. And what a good God you are. So, Lord, help us to flee from the effects of sin and sin in our lives. But, Lord, again, help us to remain vigilant and help us in our frailties, I pray. Now, Lord, speaking of frailties, to get up here to address the congregation, Lord, is an awesome thing. It is not something to be taken lightly. I pray you'll guide my heart and my lips because you know, Lord, I am not what I should be, and I can only go in your power and strength. Help me, I pray, and may this be a day, Lord, of decisions and people thinking and changing. Maybe even someone that needs today to call on you in salvation, Lord. We'll leave that in your hands and through the power of the Spirit. But we pray this day would be a dynamic day in all of our lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, just so we're aware, next Sunday is a fellowship Sunday that we've had a lot of confusion here, and we know who Satan, he's the author of confusion. But normally we would have communion on the first Sunday of the month, but next Sunday we will have our potluck fellowship. You're all invited. Even if you don't bring anything, don't worry about it. I always have, I've got a little reserve. I can get by without eating. But come and join us, and we'll have Stephen and Edna and maybe some of their kids here that day. Did someone finally get what I was trying to say? Bob, you and I might click pretty well, really, on a lot of things. Yeah. Anyway, come and join us. It's very low impact unless you eat too much. I've never had a bad fellowship here at Fruitland in all these years. It's all good stuff. But fellowship's really not about the eating. It's about what? Interaction with people. And that's exactly right. Encouragement, listening, so on and so forth. So come and join us for that. We'll be done on time. Well, Stephen might be a little long-winded. You know, in Africa, they sit down and go for hours. Amen. And anyway, today, though, we're going to look at the men. And I just want to say this to begin with today. We all struggle. Don't get too hard on each other. But yet understand that these things are real life impacting situations that deal with us all the way from a personal situation to a corporate situation, if I can use that expression. In other words, what I'm going to present to begin with today, and just so you know this too, week after Stephen's here, it'd be the August 13th, I think. I'll try to finish up or we'll come back onto the men. But all these things impact what goes on around us today. And these are real things about the roles that we get confused between man and Satan's, promotion and what God says. And if you haven't gotten anything else or you're here for the first time today, I believe this with all my heart because the Bible teaches that we need to do things God's way. And it'll work. The more man messes with stuff, the worse it gets. So I believe God has laid out a plan. But here's what I have to say here this morning. Homes, churches, and societies fail if men fail in their God-given roles. And folks, I could stand up here and hammer about what's going on today, but you know it yourself. When I teach in the public schools, when you encounter people, wherever you may be in the situations you find them, you know that our culture is a wreck today. And men, I'm going to lay it right at your feet. Now, I know that may not be the case with everyone here today, but I stand before you today saying that I could have been a better father. I could be a better father today. I'm missing some of the things that I'm even going to preach about. And very likely so are the rest of you guys in here today. Whatever role you're in. That's why we're here, to get a tune-up. You know, several years ago, Kim's dad stopped driving. And it's sitting out here today. And I'm sure some of you are embarrassed. But it still gets you from point A to point B. But Grandpa Ron gave up the old Dodge, and I said, well, I'm going to finish its life out. Woody, you're starting to grin. But you know what? That old truck ought to be tuned up. It's got 227,000 miles, I think, on it. It needs a tune-up, but I'm too cheap to do it. I'm just waiting to see how long it'll go. But can we admit today, men and women, some of us need a tune-up. All of us need a tune-up. We need to be reinvigorated and re-energized to do it God's way. That's why we're here today, to say if we do it God's way, it'll be the right way. But the effects of our society, our culture, our churches, our homes, and everything else, I'm going to lay it where it belongs. It is the responsibility, and I lay it at the feet of the men. I'll tell you what, though, there's a lot of homes, there's a lot of things in the culture, there's a lot of things in the churches that the women have wrongly had to take responsibility for because men would not do it. What I see as I discuss and talk to men today is a lot of those men have given up. They know what they should do. And by the way, leadership is not like I described. It's not wearing a beater shirt and ordering people. No. If you read the scriptures, We should operate in the stead of how God operates with us. Love, and we're going to talk about that. Tenderness, gentleness, patience. Many of the things that we struggle with. We've got to get back to doing it God's way. And Satan has wreaked havoc throughout all time since the Garden of Eden. But men, it can be done. It cannot be done perfectly. But if we'll take little steps even, it can be improved. And our wives, our children, those around us, the churches, our society, our homes, if we can make little inroads to restore and do it God's way, I believe God will bless that. So can we turn it around today? Well, it could be turned around. God's a God of miracles. But in most cases, it's going to need to start with men turning it around one step at a time. Not going to their wives and say, look what I've done, baby. Look how I've changed. No, you don't have to say it because they're going to see it. And little steps get us up the stairs. There's a song we used to sing in Vacation Bible School. Don't stare up the stairs, just step up the steps. Little by little, inch by inch. By the yard it's hard, by the inch it's a cinch. Men, I challenge you today to begin that and for me to begin to do better in my life in those areas today. All right, well, several points we're going to look at today. And we're going to stop a little early for communion. And but anyway, these the first one does not even have a scriptural point of view because you could go to all the scripture. Number one, men, you need to be students of the Word. Pastor John, you need to be a student of the Word. We need to know what it says. We need to be in it so the Holy Spirit can apply it to our lives. And He'll change us. And He'll give us the insight how to operate. I believe that with all my heart. God's Holy Spirit's with us. We never have to, if we're born again, saved people, we don't have to ask for the Spirit to be present with us. He's there. By the way, Pastor John, you drag Him through all the things you go through in your life that are against what He wants to do. But if we'll listen to Him, He'll come, He'll help us. And His help is available. It's nearby. But here's what I have for the first point that I didn't give a reference on necessarily. And these are random. These are as the Spirit led them to me as I prepared. And ironically, part of this message isn't even done yet. But it's on the desk. And it'll all get done. We got more material today than we can get done anyway. But here's what I'd like to say for men today, is men ought to be spiritually aware of their leadership roles. Spiritually aware. You know, most people listen to the wrong information about things. You agree with that? I'm sure there are people today that would go to some kind of an author, and there's multiple authors, and there's some good authors. There's some Christian authors that will help you with these type of things in the life of men. But there's also a lot of people that go to the wrong authors and the wrong places for advice that will not get the right advice. But men, Christian men, need to be spiritually aware of their leadership roles. And that begins, again, with a relationship, first of all, with God. And we learned that word hupotasso here in the last week. But first of all, with God, what comes second in your life, man, if you're married? Your wife. And if you have children, thirdly, yes. And beyond that, you have to prioritize what comes next. What's that, Lonnie? That's right. We should put everything else first before ourselves. But with that said, if you don't take care of yourself, and we need to take care of ourselves, but we need to be in balance, again, with how God would have us to do that. But we stand in the stead of God, who has done everything for us. And as we learned last week, when a lady sees that and God is working in her heart, she is going to make a step in the right direction to do it God's way as well. And the whole outcome of this will be a wonderful thing. It can be. So, we need to be spiritually aware of the responsibilities that God has given us, but along with responsibilities, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to do it for the Lord. So there it is, folks. That's the first thing. Be spiritually aware. Don't be asleep in your seat. Don't be, you know, just going through life, hanging out. Get engaged with what's going on and with what God wants you to do and with the responsibilities and privileges He's given you to do. All right, that's the first thing. That's just in general, okay? The next thing that I think is very important, and I'd like you to go to Genesis 22:2. Genesis 22:2. And men, and I could give you lots of references on all this, but we're going to keep it very simple. But the male must be the love initiator in all situations. The man must be the love initiator in all situations, but not only the initiator of love, but the perpetuator of it. And we learn true love from the love that God has for us. Now, if you look at Genesis 22:2, do you remember what the scenario here is? This is a verse for the first time where a father's love is mentioned in the Bible. Shall we read the context? Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did test or tempt Abraham. A way that you can really look at that is proof test. By the way, we're all under a proof test with God too. Okay? He is challenging us to get it right, to see how closely we're going to do it His way. We're under a test from Satan as well. Okay? And so most of us don't like tests. But tests are good for us. Why? Because tests analyze our heart. Tests analyze our skills and so forth as we learn. So God is testing Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, and He said, Behold, here am I. And you know what this is. This is one of the most heart-wrenching situations that we find in the Bible, because God told Abraham to do what? To sacrifice his precious son, Isaac. And Abraham would have done it? Yes, he would. But let's look at this. And he said, Take now thy son, verse 2, thine only son, Isaac, who thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, did you catch that in that second verse? It's the first mention of a father's love in the Bible. Thy son, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Fathers must be the initiator of love as God the Father is to us. Love causes there to have to be at times very tough things done. But I'll tell you what, if we don't have that motive behind us, and we know we learned earlier, love our wives, we'll see that again. But if love is not the motive in things to begin with, we're going to be in trouble. And that motivation comes from Almighty God. We must be the perpetuator in all situations of God's love. But initially and especially in the love that's in the home. Because what flows from the home flows into everything else. It flows into the church and into the culture. But men oftentimes, as the scripture says, love themselves more than anything else. Now it may not be something that's very obvious, but as the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, men tend to be lovers of themselves. We take care of the needs that we have sometimes before any other needs. But God wants us to love people, and men must be the catalyst for that. So that's the question that I bring to us today. Is love, again, are you the initiator and the perpetuator of love in whatever relationships you're involved in, whether you're single or married or whatever status, a young person or an older person here today? Is that the first motive that you operate under? I believe this with all my heart, just as the example that we saw or the first mention, that the love of a father is so important in everything. Now, some of you know my sons. And you know how we operate. Woody said he was just out there yesterday. We were down at the farmer's market in the morning. And it's controlled chaos. But I've got a couple of sons. One of them is a tender guy. His name is Mark. And the other guy is Greg. And he's tough and abrasive. I can grab Mark and give him a kiss yet and tell him I love him. For those of you that know Greg, if I even come close, he's ready to what? Run. And he's, those personalities have been there. But the bottom line is, I hope both those boys and girls know that I love them. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how you are, folks, but as you see your children mature, our kids are now middle-aged people. The more I see in our children, the more I see a mirror of me. Or of Kim. But if you miss that idea and that action in your home of love, today's the day to get it started. When you see love as the groundwork for what takes place, and don't get me wrong, folks, I've lived a stressful life. I mean, all the things we've done, I still live a stressful life. You know, you think I'm in an idyllic situation where everything's always easy? Well, no, and neither are you. But I'll tell you, folks, if we'll take a step back and refocus on love, and in particular men today, it'll make a difference in the lives of our children, because that's how God operates with you and me. Enough said, right? Love. True love. The third thing here today is very important as well. None of these are not important. I got to move my Bible. There we go. It's teaching. All men have a role to fulfill in God's society, in God's program that involves teaching. But in particular, I'm talking to fathers again today, or father figures. By the way, men, you have a lot to offer in whatever situation you're involved in. But teaching. And let me just say this, every one of us is a teacher. We're either teaching for bad or for good. And most of what we teach is not what we teach verbally or in writing or other things. It's what we do by example. Show me, just like from Missouri. A teacher is an example setter in the home, in the church, right on down the line. By the way, you want to see a church that's working the way God wants it to work? You better have men that are engaged with the Lord. That'll make the difference, or it'll show plainly that they're not and what takes place. Anyway, let's take a look at some references here, because we need to be the example setter as men in the situations where God allows us to operate. So let's go to the book of Titus. The ladies got a little look into Titus. Now let's take a look at the men. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, a little epistle that Paul wrote, a letter to one of his proteges named Titus. And we're going to look this morning in chapter 2, and it has to do with teaching and example setting in all these that we're going to look at. Titus 2, 1 through 2, and then also 6 through 8. And here's what Paul told Timothy. He says he's speaking particularly to Timothy, but it's applicable, again, as he's telling him to teach men, all right, and giving some criteria there. But he says, first of all, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So the first little thing I'd like to cause us to consider today is, men, are you a true, is what you communicate by example or by word or by deed, are you a truth speaker? A truth speaker. By the way, how do you know if you're a truth speaker? Well, obviously, you've got to know the truth. Right? I'll tell you one thing that will derail people and their walk with the Lord and with you is if you don't tell them the truth. By the way, you and I, if you're on top of very much, you'll find out whether people are telling truth or teaching truth or setting truth for examples. The cracks in the armor will show if people are pulling monkey shines. Some of you never heard, Devin, you never heard that term, did you? We'll talk about that later sometime. You better know what truth is. So there again, we come back to the basics. We need to know the truths that come from God, from Christ, who is the truth. He is objective truth. So we need to be talking truth. By the way, it pains me as I see our culture. I don't believe I ever have told my children an untruth about the way things are. By the way, they may not like to hear that all the time. They may not agree with the truth that I've spoken, but I can stand before you today and say that what I've told them, I believe, was the truth. But today I see this all over, not only in men, but also in the women. They're telling their children lies. Not lies about what they did last night, even though that might, you understand that kind of thing. But they're telling them the wrong things blatantly about what's going on because they don't know the truth. So that's the first thing, men. You've got to be truth speakers. Sound doctrine, irrefutable truth that becomes sound doctrine. By the way, well, I better not foray into this today. The boys are feeding quite a few cattle. And I've been talking to them about the 1960s and 70s. And these monuments are disappearing rapidly, but many of you have seen these blue silos around the country. Harvestor silos. They were labeled in the 1970s monuments to stupidity. Have any of you ever heard that before? Because more people went broke feeding cattle that built all this stuff. I can take you over to Illinois yet and Iowa too. Woody, you've seen them? Yeah. And they're all sitting empty. Why? Because people were living in a fantasy land. And this is what I tell my boys. You know, I say, you better be careful. And one time we went to look at a piece of machinery in Illinois and we went by maybe six or eight big operations that have been abandoned for years. Marlon, you've seen these over in the great state of Illinois. And I said, boys, a lot of people went bust feeding cattle. Now, does that mean I'm against them feeding cattle? Nope. You can go broke doing a lot of things. But what I'm trying to teach them is to say, look what can happen. Be careful. Keep it simple. Don't put a lot of stuff out there that cannot be turned into something else, you know, that is useless for anything else. You get the drift. But the key is not all that stuff, it's to speak truth about the things of God. Anyway, verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And so again, these things that Paul is instructing Timothy to teach to the men are what we would call what? Good qualities. Beginning first, being grounded in the Lord's ways for the men to be, but also these are things that are attractive with people. Things like charity, patience, being temperate, meaning not given to going off on tangents with things, under control, seriousness. Paul is instructing Timothy for men to develop that type of a pattern in their lives when it comes to teaching. Now go down to 6 through 8 also in that chapter. We talked a few things there with the ladies. And here it is in verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be serious or sober-minded about things. So while I have fun when I go with the boys on a little jaunt like that or something, I'm telling them this is serious business even though we're laughing and stuff. But think about it. But here it is in 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Living out an example is what that's talking about. Of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, but also sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And of course, the idea here is live out the right things in front of your children. Live out the right things in front of your wives. In particular, though, Paul here is talking about your sons. Why is it important that fathers have an impact on their sons? Because their sons are responsible under God for these things that are taught to go through the next cycle. You want to know why things are the way they are today? Men did not get that transmitted to their sons. Are they all at fault? No. They may have done their best. But again, when this is weakened through Satan's efforts, it turns into a total disaster. Now, just remember this one. We're going to do two more verses and then go to communion. But Proverbs 22:6. Train up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, it is a good thing to start early Men, whatever situation you're in, if you're not a father, in the relationship, if you're married, if you're not, whatever relationship it is, business, whatever the case may be, begin early in your teaching. It's less likely people are going to listen to someone that's old than when they're young. Old age in our world is not always valued as it should be. Maturity. So start young. And then Ephesians 6:4 is our last turn, and we'll come back on this next or week after next. Ephesians 6:4, as we consider teaching, and then we'll look into this further next time. And ye fathers, Paul writes, the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 6:4, specifically, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, you know enough about me. Could I be a provoker of my children to wrath? Yeah, I could be. Because you know that I'm a repetition person. We need to get this done, that done. My sons get tired of hearing that from me. So what should I really do? Here's what I believe we ought to concentrate on, fathers. Don't keep telling your children what to do, husbands, men. Say it once and mean it. Don't be a pain to your children. Because I believe this, they have better memories than what we might think. And haven't you been through that as well? Stop harping. Ephesians 6:4. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, use the Lord as the example for how we handle. Is that easy to do? No, because I want to tell them 10 times. So such and such needs dealt with. But I got to leave it go, because you know what? The Lord tells me. He doesn't beat me over the head with things. He's patient with us. And by the way, sometimes the Lord uses things called experiences to give us a good teaching. I missed him. We'll come back to this, folks, but we can get it closer to right. Men, and we made a lot of mistakes. God's still working with us. And today's the day to see this changed. I'll say this before we go to communion, though. Maybe some of us have resisted the will of God the Father toward us through His Son, Jesus Christ. For various reasons, maybe because of our upbringing, maybe because of things that have happened. There could be someone here today that has resisted God. And He's provoked them. Because whenever we look in the Scripture or someone is hammered, you need to get in a right relationship. You need to be saved. Folks, but listen. Maybe today's the day we ought to just take it to heart and say, you know what? I've resisted this. How do I know, again, that what I've done is right unless I try what is offered by God? It could be someone here today, but we know if it's not here today, in this world, there's all kinds of men and women and children that have resisted God. He wants to nurture you and bring you up in His admonition as the example of Father, being God the Father. Go to Him today. You know, all this stuff, there's no use to perpetuate the trouble. But if we'll take small steps back toward the Lord, what a difference that'll make. It'll be refreshing. And it'll be the best thing, folks, that you'll ever do. Well, let's go ahead and sing this hymn that we have there. The first verse, Pass Me Not, written by Fanny Crosby. And I think that's a good prayer for us as we consider communion today. But she says, don't pass me by, Lord. By the way, He's not going to pass you by. You're the one that'll pass Him by. But He'll hear your cry, just as she writes today. If you're able today, it's 7:95. And Lonnie, I'll ask you to come forward at this time as we begin the communion service. Pass me not, O gentle.
Thank you. stand today.